We're looking at the book of Job, but let's first look at Luke 24. I want to remind you what our Lord said. And anyone who hasn't been in on this, we finished the Gospel of Luke. And at the end of that Gospel, Luke chapter 24, our Lord, remember, He said this in Luke 24:44. He said unto them and us, "These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scripture. And said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things, the things of Christ." And so we started going through the Old Testament. We're going through all of the books and preaching, teaching what we believe our Lord may have taught them on that road to Emmaus. So that's what we're doing. Now we come to the book of Job. Turn there. The book of Job is our next book in our study. We've been looking at all the old books, and Job is the oldest book in the Bible. Do you know that? Most believe that he lived during the time of Abraham. And it's only fitting, or it's surely the first book of the Bible must surely speak of Christ. The last book certainly does, the Revelation. And Christ even said of himself, "I am the first and the last." The first words in the book, God's book, the Bible, in the beginning, God. Well, that's Christ, isn't it? The last words in the Bible, Revelation 22:22. I wonder if anybody caught that in my notes. I said that. You say there's no verse 22. Yes, there is. It's the little words at the bottom that say, "the end." The end. He's the beginning. He's the end. And everything in between. The whole book. The Bible is the book of Christ. He's even called the Word, isn't it? The Word was made flesh. The Word, the Bible is, Jesus Christ is the Bible personified. So Job, the whole book of Job, surely represents our Lord Jesus Christ. His name, Job's name, means hated, persecuted. Job was perfect and upright, yet he was persecuted. What a picture he is of our Lord Jesus Christ, the perfect yet persecuted man. Look at Job 1, verse 1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright, one that feared God and eschewed evil. And it went on to talk about his greatness. There's none greater in all the earth. What a picture of Christ he is. So the Lord started out by saying there was a man named Job, perfect, upright, feared God, eschewed evil, but hated, persecuted. In the end, or in our story. And then God said it again in verse 8. The Lord said unto Satan, "Hast thou considered my servant Job? There's none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil." So God declared it once and twice. This book, as we said, this book bears his name. And Christ is the Word. And the whole book declares or sets forth the God-man, Jesus Christ. The whole book. Perfect. Just. None like him. There's never been one like him before or since. And God has spoken once, yea, twice. Most men don't perceive it. perceiveth it not. The Old Testament, how many times have you heard it? We're so blessed to know that. The Old Testament said, this is the whole story of the Old Testament, beginning with verse 1 of Genesis. Someone's coming. And the whole Old Testament is about this someone in type and picture and shadows and symbols and all of everything in the Old Testament points to Jesus Christ. Every prominent person absolutely represents Christ. Abraham, Adam, beginning with Adam, Abel, on and on it goes. Even some women, like Esther. Everything speaks of Christ. Abraham saw his day. Job knew his Redeemer. Moses wrote of him. All the prophets, all the apostles, every person, place, and thing and story in the Bible was purposed and written by God concerning his Son. The Old Testament. And the New Testament, God spoke once, yea, twice, God in sundry times and divers manners spake unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. God says he's here. Sent the angels, a heavenly host, to earth to announce he's here. The Christ, the one prophesied of. He's here. To do what? To suffer. To die. To save his people. Put away sin. Bring in an everlasting righteousness. Set up his kingdom. Bring his people into that kingdom. Finish the work. So, the whole book is Christ, isn't it? It's Christ. And Job was declared and set forth by our Lord, by God, twice. And so was our Lord Jesus Christ. God the Father spoke out loud only twice in the New Testament. That is, to men. He spoke three times. The third time was to his Son. When Christ said, Father, glorify thy name. He said, I both glorified it, I will glorify it again. He spoke to the Son. But to men, at his baptism, and at his transfiguration, to men, God said, spoke twice. This is my beloved Son. Hear ye him. That's all God has to say to mankind. This is my beloved Son. Hear him. He's the only mediator, the only advocate, the only daysman, the only one God deals with men through. The only name given under heaven, given among men, whereby we must be saved. So God set him forth and declared him to be his perfect, well-beloved Son. There's none like him. Listen to Romans 3. This is what Romans 3 said. Whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood. Now listen. To declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say. He said it twice. Did you hear me the first time? I'm going to tell you again. To declare, I say, his righteousness. That God might be just. And the justifier of them that believe in Jesus. So God set forth Job, declared Job as a just man, a perfect man, an upright man. Job is a type of Christ whom God set forth and brought to be here to be our Lord and our Savior. All right, look at chapter 1, verse 6. There was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. Just as Satan, not in the very beginning, in the very beginning, it was just God. Satan's a created being. And somewhere in the beginning of time, Satan and his angel, and the angels were created, okay? And he was there. In verse 7, the Lord said to Satan, whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, from walking up and down in it. I think And I believe the Lord's mocking Satan. He knows exactly what he's doing, where he is. He's under his control. He can't go. Satan's no free agent. No, he's not free at all. He does what God allows him to do. He goes where God tells him to. Boy, the world hates this, but God, we love it. The Lord said unto Satan, "Hast thou considered my servant Job?" He presented Job to Satan. There's none like him in the earth. Perfect, upright man, one that fears God and escheweth evil. Satan said, "Doth Job fear God for naught, for nothing? Hast not thou made a hedge about him and his house, about all he hath on every side? You've blessed the work of his hand. His substance is increased in the land." Job knew something of his greatness. He knew that God made him great. And what all Satan knew and knows, we don't know. He's not omniscient. I hesitate. He's principality and power, spiritual wickedness in high place. But I can say this truthfully, that he's a fool because he's fighting against God. And anybody that fights God is a fool. But he is, he does, he did. What a fool. But he's wise to do evil. And he's smarter than we are. But at any rate, he was there in the beginning. And God, Christ is called the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Christ was with the Father in the beginning at the right hand of God. And God purposed this for Christ to come. And Adam all died. You know the story. Satan tempted Adam and Eve, and they fell, and Adam all died. Well, in Christ, they're all going to be made alive. And Christ is going to come, and that was predestined long before the world ever began, that Christ would come down here, the second Adam, and be tempted by Satan. That's why I say Satan is not omniscient. He just doesn't know, or else he wouldn't have. Now here's the thing I want us to see before we look at how Christ was tried by Satan. Turn to Job 12. Job chapter 12. Job chapter 12. And I read through the whole book in preparation for this. And I've seen this, but yet I forgot about it. You have it, Job chapter 12. Now, God said Job spoke that which was right concerning him, didn't it? Job started justifying himself and spoke wrong. When you justify yourself, you speak wrong. When you justify God, when you speak of God, and Job spoke that, God said it. He spoke that was right concerning him. So what Job said about God was right. Okay, now look at this. Job 12:16. With God is strength and wisdom. The deceived and the deceiver are his. Look at, you know this, Proverbs 16. Proverbs 16, you know these verses, I know you do, but I want you to look at it. Remember where it is. Proverbs 16, I've often said that if a person would just read this, it would change their theology. Proverbs 16, the whole chapter is marvelous in it. Verse 1, the preparations of the heart in man, answer of the tongue is from the Lord. Remember the verse that says the king's heart is in the hands of the Lord, like the rivers of water. He turneth it whithersoever he will. The heart, mind you, the will, the mind, the words. Look at verse 4. The Lord hath made all things for himself, yea, even the wicked, for the day of evil. You read verses like that, and I'm sure they've changed this in modern versions. Surely they have, because they can't understand. Isaiah 45, where the Lord said, I make peace, I create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. This is the God of the Bible. Satan is completely under his absolute sovereign control. Everything, good and evil, is under the control of our God and in his purpose. Working out his purpose. Working all things together for his glory and the good of God's people. Everything. All the evil. You believe that? Mm-hmm. How could anybody have any peace or comfort or hope? Why would anybody need a God who's a bystander, who doesn't want things to happen anyway? That's a God that can't save. That's a God that's not God. Our God is God. Absolute sovereign over everything. Everything that happened to Job, God sent it. Though it was through Satan. Though it was through men. Okay? The greatest declaration of how that evil serves God's purpose is seen at Calvary. And that's what the apostles preach. You with wicked hands have taken and crucified the Lord of glory, but you did what God determined before to be done. That's the greatest proof, ultimate proof. Because that was the greatest act of wickedness and evil ever on this earth. And Satan was right in the middle of it. But God did it. It says it pleased the Lord to bruise. He had put him to grief. And men were his instruments to do it. Satan was his instrument. So, that Job said about Job, Satan said about Job, you've hedged him about. I can't touch him. Satan knew that. And we need to know that for our peace and our comfort. Job knew that. Job knew that. Job didn't blame the Sabaeans. Job didn't blame the Chaldeans. Job glorified God for everything evil that happened to him. Look at it. Chapter 1. Go back there. Christ, our Lord, was tried by God, like Job. Tried by Satan. Tried by man. By everyone. His friends turned against him. His family turned against him. But in all this, verse 22, in all this, Job sinned not. Chapter 1, verse 22. Job sinned not. Really? That's what God said. Well, Christ is the sinless one, isn't he? He's the sinless one. When our Lord came, the first thing he did as a man was face Satan. He was tried by Satan. I was going to have you turn there, but you know the verse where Satan said, all this power is given unto me. Well, Christ was tempted in all points, like as we are, yet without sin. He's the sinless one. You see, he's our representative. He's our only hope. He's our Savior. We're tempted in all points and fail. But Isaiah wrote long before, he shall not fail. It's all in his hands, you see. Our salvation. In fact, the whole, as we'd say, shooting match. The whole universe is in his hands. And I'm glad. Aren't you glad? So glad. My times are in his hand. My God, that's where I want them to be. So Lord, the Lord tried Job through Satan, through men. The Sabaeans, the Chaldeans, everybody came against him. Family, friends, all turned against him. Our Lord was tempted and tried by Satan, despised and rejected of men, smitten and afflicted by men, yet even God turned against him. Lamentation, I know you know this, Lamentation 3, but this is another one of those that you need to know where it is. There's some key verses. There are 100,000 key verses a million. They're all key verses, but oh, this is surely speaking of our Lord. Lamentations 3, look at it. Lamentations 3, first three verses. I am the man that hath seen affliction by the rod of God's wrath. He hath led me and brought me into darkness, not unto light. Surely against me is he turned. He turned his hand against me. Who's that speaking? Not Jeremiah, but Christ, Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to see some things with me in Job 13. Let's just browse through here and see how clearly Job represents our Lord. Job 13, you know this verse. You need to know where it is. We quote it all the time. Job 13. And this, now these verses surely speak of our Lord. And we can enter into them. Job 13, 15. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Remember in the garden, our Lord prayed, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, God's going to slay his son. God's going to slay the lamb, his son. He knew that. Christ knew that. God spared not his son. He slew his own son, like he told Abraham to do. God did. But yet look at this. Verse 15. But I will maintain my own ways before him. And that Job spoke wrongly about himself, didn't he? But he spoke truly of Christ. Job 23. Go over there. Job 23. I want you to see how that so much of what Job said is really Christ speaking. Job 23:10. Look at that. Job 23:10. He knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Now that's true of God's people, but it's never more true than of our Lord Jesus Christ, isn't it? Gold, silver, and precious stones are Christ himself. Job was just a man, though perfect, upright, as a type of Christ. But what so much, chapter 19, go back there, chapter 19. So much of what Job said, you just read that with me. And look at these verses. This is amazing, people. It's amazing. Amazing. Job 19. Job is speaking of what all God did to him. Verse 6, you have it? Job 19:6. Know now that God hath overthrown me and hath compassed me with his net. Verse 8. He hath fenced up my way that I cannot pass. He hath set darkness in my path. He hath stripped me of my glory, taken the crown from my head. God had a crown of thorns put on it. Took the crown from his head. He left glory and took the crown from his head and hadn't put a crown of thorns on his head. Verse 11. He hath kindled his wrath against me. He counted me unto him as one of his enemies. Verse 13. He hath put my brethren far from me, my acquaintance estranged from me. Verse 14. My kinsfolk have failed. My familiar friends have forgotten me. Verse 19. All my inward friends abhorred me. They whom I loved are turned against me. My bone cleaveth to my skin. That's Psalm 22, isn't it? Look at verse 21. Have pity on me, my friend. Have pity upon me, O ye my friend. The hand of God hath touched me. That's Christ. Job knew that for his comfort. What was Job's hope? Cannot leave this chapter without reading this. that my words were written in a book. They are, Job. And your words, you may not know it, but they're the words of Christ. Your Redeemer. Verse 25, I know my Redeemer liveth, and that he will stand at the latter day upon the earth. He did, Job. He did. Job saw him go to earth. Job saw him with his own eyes. There he is. And I spoke things too wonderful for me. Chapter 29 of Job. Look at this. I'm almost finished. Half hadn't been told. This is a long book. Job 29:11. Job speaking of his greatness, his former greatness. In this chapter, he's speaking of what all he was and had before the Lord turned against him. Okay? Now listen to this as a type of cry. Job 29, verse 11. The ear heard me, it blessed me. The eye saw it, it gave witness to me. See, our Lord left glory where the angels gave him all glory and honor. And if he opened his mouth, they heard him. Everybody got quiet. Read on verse 12. I delivered the poor that cried, the fatherless, and that had none to help him. Verse 13. The blessing of him that was ready to perish came upon me. I caused the widow's heart to sing for joy. I put on righteousness. It clothed me. My judgment was a robe and a diadem. I was eyes to the blind, feet to the lame, father to the poor. Broke the jaws of the wicked. That's Christ, isn't it? Now, Job justified himself wrongly. That's what Elihu dealt with him about. God did too. But as a type of Christ, as a clear type of Christ right here, our Lord justified himself. He stood before men and said, which of you convinceth me of sin? You see, Job's friends turned against him and thought, surely you've done something wrong. And he ended up defending himself. No, I haven't. No, God did this. Where he was wrong was keep justifying himself. Because he's a sinner. He's just a man. And his sin was justifying himself. But he did say, I'm innocent. As a type of Christ who stood before everyone. Who convinces me of sin? Done no wrong. Even his enemies said, I find no fault in it. They had to drum up charges. They had to drum up false witnesses. Satan couldn't find anything. God couldn't. I'm well pleased for his righteousness. Satan couldn't. Men and devils couldn't. He's the just one. And there's just one. That's Jesus Christ. You see, he's our head, our covenant head. It's going to be in the next message. The Christ is what this means. And Job is such a picture of him. All right, now look at this. I close. Job was justified in the end and accepted by God and declared to all of Job's friends and everyone around, this is the man that I accept. And you're going to come to him and he's going to pray for you. And I'm not going to accept you except you go to him. Now, you want to tell me who that represents? Chapter 42, in the end. Chapter 42. Now, remember, the first chapter began, the first verse began, there was a man. And the last verse in this book says, so Job died. Christ died, according to the Scripture. But he liveth. But chapter 42, verse 7. It was so, after the Lord had spoken to Job, the Lord said to Eliphaz the Temanite, my wrath is kindled against thee and against thy two friends. Now, if you read, he said, that you have not spoken the thing that is right as my servant Job had. God's wrath abideth on the ungodly. Right? Men only know John 3:16. God so loved the world. They don't know John 3:36. You do. You do. He that believeth not on the Son, the wrath of God abideth on him. Not the love of God. But those in Christ, those who know Christ, those who need Christ, those who believe Christ, believe on Christ. Not just believe in Jesus, but believe on Christ. Cast all their care, all their sins, all their hope of salvation on Jesus the Christ, the Son of God. There is no condemnation. There is no wrath. There is no judgment. In Christ, no wrath. Outside of Christ, God's a consuming fire. And God told these men this. My servant Job has spoken right. You haven't. Now, he says, take 7 bullocks and 7 rams. Take a sacrifice and go to him. And my servant Job, verse 8, read it with me. My servant Job shall pray for you, and him will I accept. Or I'll deal with you after your father. So God told these men, these friends, my own familiar friend hath lifted up his heel against me. Oh, but Christ is the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Job didn't forsake his friends. But God had this happen because of a picture of Christ. But God says concerning his Son, this is my beloved Son, hear him. This is my Son who's spoken, not only spoken that which is right concerning me, but done everything right. Perfectly. His righteousness. I'm well pleased for his righteousness' sake. Every word. Who shall enter into the halls of heaven and the glory? He that hath clean hands, a pure heart, and never lifted up his soul unto vanity or sworn deceitfully. That's Jesus Christ. Hello. And God says, I'm well pleased with him. Him will I accept. Him I accept. And you go to him. You come to him. He offers that sacrifice for you. He prays for you. I'll accept you in him. You're complete in him. And what did these men do? They ran to Job. Fear of the Lord. The beginning of wisdom. What does the fear of the Lord do? Make you do? Run to Christ. And the Lord, oh my, and it was all over. In the end of the book, after he who was rich, Job, was made poor, and everybody turned against him, God turned against him. In the end, everybody came to him, and God justified him, and God gave him twice as much as he had in the beginning. That's our Lord. God has given him a name which is above every name. And God hath given him everything as his inheritance. What a Lord. What a Savior. What a book. Okay.